John 15. John chapter 15, beginning here at verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Get us a future preacher, don't we? Here at verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you: no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. How many of you keep up with the, I guess, college football and the NFL, or some of it's just college football, right? You know, that's kind of where I'm at, except for a few NFL games. I watched a recent NFL game with the Kansas City Chiefs and some other team. I have no clue. Can't remember what the other team was. What was that one? But there was one prior to that. That was, but anyways, did you know that Taylor Swift went to the game?
Oh, yes. It's all over the news.
It's all over the news. Taylor Swift has gone to the game because I guess she now has a relationship with Travis Kelce, who's the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. Just, if you turn on the news, you're going to hear this stuff, aren't you? Just about anything. Did you know that by her attendance, she has, by her very attendance to the game in this relationship, his jersey number has sold out. They're having to make more. That the rise in ticket sales has gone up like 40%, something like that. And then also, his podcast with his brother, the Kelce brothers, has got like 400,000 more people, and his own, what is the former Twitter account and X account, has gotten so many more friends and likes and things like that. And then there's this part where some people are either just joking about this, or there's some seriousness to this as well, in which they're posting videos of how Taylor Swift has put Travis Kelce on the map. Like somehow before he wasn't, you know, famous at all. And you see the response of some husbands and guys who are going, what? Taylor Swift didn't put Travis Kelce on the map. Travis Kelce was already on the map. He was, you know, a two-time, you know, Super Bowl winner, one of the top tight end receivers in the game of the NFL, maybe even ever. And, you know, he didn't need Taylor Swift to put him on the map, does he? And he's already famous on his own. Of course, Taylor Swift is famous on her own as well. And it, vice versa wouldn't be needed as well. I mean, she's worth hundreds of millions of dollars and had a number of pop songs that are number one, and on it goes. Being friends with God is the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate goal. God wants a relationship with you. That's why God sent his son Jesus. Jesus is for a relationship with God, a relationship with him. It's the ultimate goal, and it is explained to us here that even through the disciples, God's ultimate goal is to be friends with the disciples. Those who sought to be like-minded, those who are thirsting for the righteousness of God, those who are seeking to be obedient unto the Lord, God is saying the goal there is friendship. Now, salvation is important, but the ultimate goal of that is friendship with God, relationship with God, not just in one moment of life, but in a forever thing. Now, in our being friends with God, we're not going to improve God's status and character, are we? We're not going to, because we have become friends with God, somehow we put God on the map. God is already on the map. He is the map. Excellent. He created the map. Everything, God's love, we're not going to get God to love more than he already does, are we? We're not going to get God to forgive more than he already does, are we? Just because we have become friends with God. And even this, if the world, being friends with God has its consequences. The world's going to hate you. The world's going to hate you. It's such a terrible word, isn't it, hate? You can think about what it all means. The world is going to hate you just because of your choosing to be a friend of God's. And being a friend of God isn't like what the world interprets being a friend of God is like. Where it's like, you excuse my behavior because we're friends. No. It is, being a friend with God is rising to the level of obedience unto the Lord and seeking to be like-minded in understanding of him and our relationship to him. To be as a servant, yet as friend. That's why he says, I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend. For everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. And saying to them that you are my friends if you do what I command. Being obedient unto the Lord. We need to get rid of this concept and notion that being a Christian means everyone is going to love you and seek to get along with you. Now, I know we want to be loved, don't we? We want people to like us. But we need to get rid of this concept that everything and everyone is going to love you and seek to get along with you. If that were the case, then Jesus would never have had any enemies. And he had plenty of enemies, didn't he? He had enemies because he was righteous. He had enemies because he was good. He had enemies because he sought to do what was right in the Father's eyes and not the world's viewpoint. Now, as we come together in church, and we are called to love one another, and we want to love one another, it is important for us to love one another and let that be a mark of our faith, a mark of the friendship of God, is that you love one another. But love in the sense, not as the world sees it, but love in the sense of how God views love. How many friends does the average person have? How many friends do you think the average person in the U.S. has? And I'm talking about close friends. Somebody you can call up at 2 a.m. in the morning and say, "Hey, I need your help. Can you come over?" Kind of friend. What do you think?
One, two, maybe three.
Five at the most. Somewhere between one and two is what how people respond to that. One or two. Close personal friends. Now that number used to be higher years ago. But as our society has become tied more and more to the home, more and more, closer to, you can just about get anything and everything without ever interacting with other people, that number has become much less. One to two. So that means there's a number of people who have no friends at all, no one that they can call to. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus has said, the one that matters the most has said, "I want to be your friend." Not in the way that the world says, but in the way that we can call upon Him to find answers, to find understanding, and to seek to follow in His will and in His righteousness. How awesome it is, folks, for God to call us friends. I want you to hear that, how awesome it is that God calls you and me friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That we seek to be obedient unto the Lord. This is the opposite of what took place in the Garden of Eden, where it was the disobedience to God's word that brought the fall to man in the first place. Disobedience. When we sin, it is because of disobedience. When we're seeking to be the friend of God, we are seeking to be obedient unto the Lord. And we can be obedient also by asking God for forgiveness when we do sin. Do you see that? That is obedience unto the Lord. It's when we deny to say, "I have no sin to ask God to forgive." That is arrogance. That is denial of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. How awesome it is that as God called these disciples friends who were obedient to His commands, and we know their story, we know how they mess up, don't we? Yet He still called them friends because He knew that they would seek to be obedient and follow His commands. So too it is that God calls you and me friends because we seek to do what God commands. A mark of the friendship of God is that we love one another. Let me ask you, then, if God sought to be our friends as the world sees friendship and as the world views love one another, Jesus would not have gone to the cross for us. He would have just gathered to just get along. Now hear me on that. If God sought to be our friends as the world sees friendship, the world sees friendship more or less as somebody who will always be there to support whatever action you take. There is no morality necessarily in play there. It's just friendship based on always being supportive of whatever decisions or actions you take. That's not the friendship that God speaks of. He went to the cross to be our friends, so that we could claim the righteousness of God, so that we could be obedient unto Him. There is a difference. And so when we love one another in that same respect. If we love our brothers and sisters, then we also love to tell them the truth. We love them enough to tell them the truth. Where do we, what takes place in public school today? And my undergrad degree, although I never really taught other than as a student teacher, but my undergrad is in education. And I came through the public school system, but I'm not a fan of public school today. I don't mean to disrespect anybody here, but I'm not a fan of it anymore. And I'll tell you why. When it concerns schools today, when a teenager is totally disrespectful, cusses their teacher out, and yes, that happens. If you're a kid here today or youth here today, don't do this. You be respectful. You do what God tells you to do. And respect your teachers and respect the administrators. But when a student is just being totally disrespectful, cussing a teacher out, I mean, you even hear today where a teacher is beaten up, by students. And I'm not necessarily talking to Elbert County, we're talking everywhere. It's pervasive in this nation. And for the administration then to come into a room and say things like this to the person who's being totally disrespectful, to the person who's just cussed out the teacher, to the person that's disruptive of the class, hey buddy, come with me into my office and take a nap, chill out. When what they need to hear is not being a friend as the world sees being a friend. They need administration who will stand up and say, no, this is not acceptable behavior. And they will tell their parents, this is not acceptable behavior. This is why we need the church, people. This is why the church is so needed, because we need to stand for what is good and right behavior. Jesus defines and equates friendship. Now, Milton, I'm not saying you act like that as an administrator.
You need to come to my school with
that. I know. He's got backing already. And we need to back administrators like him. We don't need to let parents who are unruly change that.
Exactly.
Students who are unruly change that. And where it is the case, it needs to be backed and supported. Jesus equates and defines friendship with following His commands and loving one another. And in this same way, calling us to accountability in Christ. The world sees friendship as just excusing behavior which is deemed unacceptable, according to God's holy word. And that is innumerable. The cross was not for excusing behavior, but forgiving behavior that is sinful. Therefore, we must all repent, because we are all sinners before God, aren't we? Every one of us. No one can point to another and say that person's a greater sinner than me. No. We are all in need to repent and be obedient and do what Jesus commands. In the military, you follow orders because there's consequences if you don't. How many of you have been in the military before? Raise your hand. There's a few of you. And so if you were disobedient to the orders that were given to you, what would happen? What would happen? At minimum, you do 50 push-ups. Or you get to clean the kitchen, or you get to, there would be some punishment if you were disobedient. You could even, you know, be thrown into the brig. You could be told that, hey, you go run 5 miles and come back until you're found to be obedient. General George Patton was noted as stating this. Now, I don't know if this story is true or one of these stories that's made up about him. But he would send 3 people out when he was considering giving a promotion to one of his soldiers. He'd send them out outside the area to the quarters in which they were staying. And he would send them outside and tell them to dig a 3-foot hole, 3 feet wide and 6 feet long. Kind of like a shallow grave in one sense. And he would position himself where he could see and hear what they were saying from inside. And he'd hear one of them complain about why are they having to do this, and another would be complaining about the other person complaining about it, or complaining about the general. And another would finally just say, y'all, let's just shut up and do the work and get it done and go back inside. And it would be that person that he would promote, the one who just wanted to follow the orders. And that person, you know, he would never tell them what's going on or anything, but that would be the person he would promote, the one who just was obedient and followed the orders. God sees friendship, you see, as one who follows his ways and not the way of the world. We don't need to be afraid that the world may hate us, you see. We need to be afraid, more or less, that God would be disappointed in us. We need this now more than ever, with how ridiculous and absurd, and dare I say stupid, the world has become. We were not made to be lonely people. God made us for relationship. God made us ultimately for friendship with Him. And now, marriage is not for everyone. All right? It is not for everyone. I remember even as a kid, I even told my parents that I'm never getting married. That was right after I met Amy. No, I was kidding. I said, I'm never getting married. I had felt strongly at that point in my faith that I just thought, I'm just not getting married. I'm going to remain celibate the rest of my life. That notion changed as time went on. But it's not for everyone. All right? Marriage is not for everyone. That's why we don't see it as a like communion and baptism, where everyone can participate. But we all can participate in the friendship of God. But marriage gives an example of our relationship with God. It reflects friendship with one another. Now, I don't mean to say that you get along with everything, but marriage should reflect a friendship to one another that reflects a friendship with God. Well, that raises marriage to a whole different level, doesn't it, folks? To husband and wife. That it should reflect the friendship of God. And the thing about with marriage is we know that we are sinners, but in our relationship with God, there is no sin in God. He's always right. But in marriage, I'm not always right, am I?
John, you're digging yourself a hole.
And in marriage, my wife's not always right.
It just got deeper.
Yeah. But their there should be forgiveness. And there should be friendship. And there should be love. And if it is not present, then it does not speak to the friendship that God seeks marriage to be. My grandfather told me this. I've shared with some of you this story before, and this was what he had heard from a preacher at camp meeting. And the preacher at camp meeting, he was sharing that as he heard this as a little boy at a camp meeting, that he showed this shiny gold coin. And he put it in his pocket, and then he showed them three rusty nails, and he put it in his pocket, same pocket. And he said, now, as you go along and you walk with this shiny gold coin and these three rusty nails over the next several weeks, what's going to happen to that shiny gold coin? What's going to happen to it? It's going to lose its luster. Now, the gold coin is not going to rust. But it's going to lose its luster, its shine, because it's being beaten up and it's being worn down, and it's by those three rusty nails. You see, when God calls us to be friends and to make friends, and youth and children, you need to know this. Find good Christian friends. Because what will happen is people who are not Christian, if you give them and elevate them to friendship level, which is a more intimate relationship, which is a more close relationship, not as the world sees it, but as a close relationship, then you are allowing them to rub off on you more than you are rubbing off on them. Having close Christian friends elevates your relationship with God, elevates your friendship with God. And why is it so important to have the church? Why is it so important to have children's and youth programs? That's a vision that this church had in hiring Craig, is to elevate those relationships, to elevate the importance of God in their lives and the friendships that they keep. Relationships, too. Some people have thought in terms of marriage, thinking the person will change, and the likelihood of that is not likely. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. It does. But it's better to be equally yoked than to be unequally yoked. It is better to be spiritually in faith, like-minded, than to be not like-minded. It is better. I guess I'm going to offend some people somewhere along this lines here. It's better to be close in age than to be far apart in age. It's better to be, more like-minded in politics than to be at polar opposites. It's better for your families to be more in line with one another than to be polar opposites, and your interests to be more or less the same. That doesn't mean not in everything. There may be things that interests that one person likes that another person doesn't. But if it's so diametrically opposite in all things, then it is not healthy. It is not building in the friendship that God wants for us to have, to be equally yoked.
Give me a moment here.
Friendship rises to a different level. Your close personal friends that need to be and should be Christians. I say that to you, church. Let your close personal friends be Christians. And if they are not, and if they are not in your marriage, still strive to do the best that you can to be the husband or wife that you should be. But in case of friendships, choose friends that can build you up in faith. I'm not saying that we should not interact with the people of the world. I'm talking about those that we choose to become our friends, as the way the scriptures tell us. We have invited into our world TV and now our cell phones that invite someone else into our lives and that influence our children, our families. Now, there's some good things in TV. There's some good things that come across our phones and the usefulness of them. But look at the characters on TV. And if you're watching programs with your children and youth, be sure to explain why certain behaviors aren't right according to God. Be sure to explain that. Don't just scoff, but be sure to explain it. Explain it over and over again. Even to the point that if that becomes unacceptable, then TV can be turned off. Phones can be taken away. We are not potted plants. We can make decisions that are helpful and useful tools. Some of this on TV and on our phones and maybe TikTok or whatever, even though there's positive characters and positive things, it's how they try to normalize immoral and sinful and secular behavior. And this is why the church is so needed. It's a place to find, in many ways, like-minded people. I'm not saying that we agree on everything, but like-minded people, close in the things that matter, friends. It's not the huge tent of ideas that was in the United Methodist Church that went from a close proximity to so far apart that it became untenable. That it became so far apart that they were diametrically opposed to one another. And that is why we became part of the Global Methodist Church. Is because we knew that the importance of like-mindedness and friendship with God is about being and doing what God commands and not what the world thinks.
Amen.
This is why it's important for us to build the building for our children in Sunday school. This is why it's important for us to have Sunday school for children and youth and programs. The consequences are not just in this life, but it is eternal. When Jesus sought to be the friend to these disciples and say, "You are no longer my servants. I no longer call you servants, but you are my friends if you do what I command." He was saying this. There is significance in Jesus calling these disciples friends and in calling you friend. In calling you. Everyone that's here who seeks to do what God commands. Amy and I are, we like to watch the TV show. Yeah, there's some bad things in it, I guess, too. The Amazing Race. And it's about 12 or 13 teams that travel around the world in places that are very unfamiliar to them, in languages that they may not know, in places that they've never been. And they try to be the fastest to the tasks that are at hand and to reach the places where they go and perform certain tasks the fastest to be the winner overall over some 30-something days. And where many are most successful is when they are in a place and they are totally unfamiliar with the language, and they are totally unfamiliar with the region and culture, and they do this. They find someone who lives there and who can explain where to go and can help break down the language barrier and can assist them along the way. When Jesus said to his disciples, he wasn't just saying friends while they were here on earth. He was talking about friendship that would be forever and ever. Jesus is the friend who will calm our fears and worries. Hear me say this. Jesus is the friend who will calm our fears and worries. More so than any pill that you can take. More so than any exciting event that you can be a part of. Jesus is the friend who will calm our fears and worries. He will welcome us and introduce us into the new land, which is heaven. And he will say to you and me, do not be afraid, it is I. And it will be Jesus who is our friend, who is in that foreign land that we will go to, and he will make it a welcome place where we will understand its language, where we will understand the region and the places. And God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, will make that place a welcome and wonderful place. So that where we go, we don't need to fear or worry about how it will be. Jesus will be the friend who has gone before you and me. The best thing that we can do outside of our salvation and the goal that Jesus wants, that God wants for you and me, is for Jesus to be our friend. To welcome us. To call us to accountability and to rise toward his righteousness. To be obedient unto him. To call us to love one another. And to know that he was hated by the world. And that we too should expect to be hated by the world as well. God wants to call you and me friend, but not in the way that the world sees the word friend, but in the way the scriptures describe friendship. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. I want to be called by you, friend. May each person in this room say in their own heart, I want to be called by you, O God, friend. And may we seek, O God, to be obedient unto your command. Forgive us, O God, where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory, way short of your glory. And Lord, we pray that you will be there for us when we pass from this life unto your heavenly kingdom, that we will find a welcome friend, a Lord and Savior. We pray this in the name of Jesus.